Open with me now in your Bibles to James chapter 1. Suppose after chapel you do exactly what you've always done, and you pull your cell phone out of your pocket, and you go to text your friend so you can have someone to eat lunch with. And as you pull your cell phone out and you look at your cell phone says it's not receiving any signal. And because of that, you can't send a text message. And because of that, you're going to be eating lunch by yourself. Well, you'd be kind of upset, especially at your cell phone. And you go and eat lunch by yourself. Maybe you get grab and go, and you're going back, and you have a test next hour, and you really need prayer for this test. So you go and text your mom to pray for you because you didn't study like you maybe should have, and you really need prayer right now. And so you go to text your mom, and your cell phone still says, no signal. Well, at this point, you're a little bit more upset than you were before. But you go take your test, you're over it in a second, and after you're done with your test, you're hanging around, and you want to meet your friend again, and so you go to call him this time, and still no signal. Well, at this point, you're very angry, and so you chuck your cell phone against a tree, and you are done with that cell phone. You know why? Because your cell phone is useless if it's not receiving any messages. In the Bible, as believers, we've been commanded in Scripture to be in constant communication with our Savior. And that takes place from our realm as we receive the messages of our commander, and that is in the Word of God. You see, without the right reception of the Scriptures, there's no communication with the Savior. And so as we open our Bibles to the book of James, we are confronted at the end of this chapter with the necessity of being ready receptors of God's divine revelation. And so the question really is, how's your reception of the Word of God? Because God has demonstrated in His Word that His Scripture is good for you, and in order for you to demonstrate true faith, you must properly receive God's Word. James is often referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. And like the Proverbs of the Old Testament, the themes addressed are often tightly intertwined and difficult to outline. Often James addresses a topic over a verse or a phrase, but sometimes he expands upon a topic over several verses. Such is the case as we open our Bibles to James 1 and we look at verses 19 to the end of the passage. And we see here a step-by-step procedure for rightly receiving God's Word, and it begins with the proper attitude. You see, there's a proper disposition for receiving God's Word. Look at verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Let every man be swift to hear. Now, James is not talking in some generic category, telling everybody to listen up to everything everyone else has to say. He's talking in the context of something. And that context is the Word of God, which is the subject of verse 18 and 20 and 21. So James is saying, let every man be swift to hear the Word of God. Now, as students at BJU, we've been given at least an opportunity to hear the Word of God presented. And that happens oftentimes in chapel. We go to chapel four times a week for about 30 to 35 minutes each time. So if we go to chapel four times a week for two semesters every year for 4 years, we will have listened to about 587 messages and will have acquired the equivalent of an academic minor in chapel. Now, the question really is, how's your reception in chapel? James seems to say you should be swift to hear when the Word of God is presented anytime, and not just in chapel, in church, in society, in the classroom. Anytime the Word of God is read, James says, be swift to hear. But not only be swift to hear, be slow to speak. Now again, James is not talking in some generic category, telling everybody to keep their mouth closed. He's talking in the context of something, and that context, again, is found in verse 18 and the subject of verses 20 and 21, and the context is the Word of God. So James is saying, be swift to hear the Word of God, be slow to speak it. What does that mean? Well, like Proverbs, James addresses a topic again in chapter 3, verse 1, when he says, my brethren, let not many of you become many teachers of the Word of God, knowing you shall incur a stricter judgment. Now, in our age of constant communication, it seems like our tongues have extended to our fingertips. We can text, tweet, update a Facebook status, blog about anything we want. I recently interacted with a newly saved believer who came across a friend of his profile page. And his friend had devoted his time on his Facebook profile to attacking a message he didn't really like in the chapel previously. Now, to say the least, this was a stumbling block to this newly saved believer, because that very same chapel message he had been encouraged by. Now, I don't do this normally, but since Facebook is a public arena, I'm going to publicly state the name of the person who so boldly attacked the chapel message. His name was Caleb Phelps. And at that time, I was the one not living James 1 verse 19. You see, our opinion is temporal and often wrong. The Word of God is eternal and always right. Our interpretation may be flawed. God's communication is always clear. The gospel does not need our anger, lies, or manipulation of the truth to be communicated clearly. And so James says, be slow to speak. But then he says, be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Be slow to wrath. Now, the opposite of a wrath-filled heart would be one filled with meekness. And so James says in verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Why? Because in verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, there's a way to read the Bible that receives, and there's a way to read the Bible that rejects. And James says, read the Bible with a disposition that says, I want to hear, I'm ready to learn, and I won't do this with wrath. And so, the proper reception of God's Word begins with the right disposition. You have to have the right attitude when it comes to reading and understanding and hearing from the Word of God. But then James says that there's a proper dedication for receiving God's Word. You see, faith that works is faith first in your heart. And so James says in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because you deceive yourselves. Mere hearers are self-deceivers, and self-deceit will be found to be the worst deceit at last. James pictures it this way. It's like a person going up to a mirror, seeing there's a problem in that mirror, doing nothing about it. And as he leaves the mirror, he forgets there was ever a problem. There's people. They come to the Word of God. They hear the careful exposition of the Word of God as it's presented. They read the Word of God. They know something has to change, and nothing happens. And James says those people are deceiving themselves. You see, without application, exposure to the Word is futile. But look at verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Literally, this man will give God the most glory. With application, your Christian walk can be fruitful. James contrasts the forgetful hearer with one who continues in what he heard. Growing up in a Christian home, attending a Christian church and going to a Christian school all of my life gave me an opportunity to not be involved in ministry. I remember my ninth grade year, the Lord began to really convict me about being a better witness. And at the same time, He was convicting my friend about being a better witness. And so together we went and invited a few of our friends to go with us to Main Street of our city and to pass out tracts. Now, we didn't know exactly what we were doing, but we prayed the Lord would allow us to see one person come to Christ. That first Saturday, it was below zero outside. We were surprised anybody was out on Main Street, but we saw one person come to Christ. For the next month, every Saturday, we saw at least one person come to Christ. And as a collective unit of ninth grade guys, we saw that application of the Word of God can be fruitful. But that story really has a sad ending. Because as exciting as passing out tracts was, soon passing out tracts went to the bottom of our list of priorities, and other things took their place. And as we failed to properly apply the Word of God to our lives, exposure to the Word became futile in our lives, and we failed to be witnesses. James says, be a doer of the work. But not just in witnessing and your lifestyle for a lifetime. Be a doer, not just a hearer. We have seen there's a proper attitude, a proper disposition. There's a proper dedication. But this third and final step is most important. You can almost say that this final step is the litmus test of the other two. James says that there is a proper demonstration when you receive the Word of God. He's talked about your inward self and how it relates to the Word of God. And now he talks about your outward actions. And James now turns his attention from our inward choices of the disposition and a dedication to an outward demonstration of a proper reception of God's word. And so he says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You see, we demonstrate we have received the words of our commander by our speech. Already, this is the second time James has brought up the subject of speech. In fact, James brings up speech in every single chapter of his book. Apparently, James thinks speech is of transcendent importance for the Christian. You see, you can act like a Christian. You can dress like a Christian. And you might fool a few people, but your speech will betray you. James also says in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Not that I hate religion, but I love true religion. And what is true religion? Well, it's defined here. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James says true faith is in works of love for orphans, widows, and the needy. True religion is not just being in church on Sunday, but true religion is charitable love for those who need it most. The truth is that words are no substitute for deeds of love. God did not ask for us to pray as an excuse for us to not be involved in ministry. God did not say, pray for others to be involved in ministry so you can exclude yourself from ministry. God asked every single one of us to be involved in what James says is true religion, which demonstrates you and I have properly received God's word. The proper reception of God's word may begin with the right disposition and dedication, but it's that demonstration of the word of God that separates any hearer from a doer of the word of God. If you were to look at your cell phone after you got out of chapel and there was no signal, you might as well use your cell phone as a hockey puck just to get some kind of use out of it. Because if your cell phone's not receiving the signal, you don't really need that cell phone anymore. In much the same way, as a Christian, if you are not properly receiving the messages of your commander, what is your Christian life? James says, in order to demonstrate true faith, you must properly receive and apply God's word. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer of the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we've been challenged today in Romans 8 to understand that in all things you are sovereign. And we pray that we would trust in the promises of Romans chapter 8. And as we look at James chapter 1 and how we see it applied to the word of God in our lives, we pray that we would be more than just hearers, but we would be doers, understanding that to whom much has been given, much more is required. And Lord, we've been given much at Bob Jones University as we listen to the word of God presented. We pray that we would properly apply the word of God to our lives. We pray this all in your name. Amen.